We'll introduce ourselves. Hi, howdy, because we're from Texas. Y'all please say howdy back.
Howdy.
Thank you. All right. So my name is Julie St. John. I work for Texas Tech University Health Science Center, Graduate School of Biomedical Sciences, Department of Public Health. And this is my wonderful colleague, Katie Nimmons. Do you want to talk for yourself? Or?
I can say that quickly. I work for the National Community Health Worker Training Center within the Center for Community Health Development, part of the School of Public Health in the Texas A&M University Health Science Center.
So, you know, they say everything's bigger in Texas. It applies to the names. So there we go. You know, we're so excited to be here today, and this is a topic that's near and dear to my heart. I am so excited when a CHW says, you know what, I have this opportunity, and they're moving on, and they have this career path, and sad but excited for them. What breaks my heart, absolutely, is when a CHW says to me, I just cannot continue in this role because I don't have the energy and I cannot do this anymore. And that's wrong. That should not happen because the CHW doesn't have the support that they need. And so we're going to speak from some lessons learned. This is by no means, encompassing everything in the world about CHWs. I'm hoping we'll have some engagement, some dialogue about some of those things. But these are lessons learned. The National Community Health Worker Training Center has been in existence since 2001. We have worked with over 1,800 promotoras. In Texas and Mexico across the U.S., providing over 68,000 hours of training. So this kind of comes from that, and we hope y'all enjoy it. We do not have any relationships to disclose. Just objectives real quickly. We're going to talk about some of the issues and factors that contribute to burnout and then high job turnover, which you all are familiar with and can speak well about. And then we're going to talk about how can we reduce this? How can we empower? And so I was so glad to hear our colleagues talk about that. And then also just dialogue some strategies for sustaining physicians and programs. All right, so I have this feud game, right? So, but we're not going to really have time to do it correctly. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to have that side of the room and this side of the room, and we're going to throw the question out there, and I just want you to throw out answers. We're not going to actually get the little timer and get to do like, bing, you got the first one at X, and we're not going to do that. This is a safe area. So when you see the question, just real loud so that everyone can hear it, and I'll try to repeat it. But the first one is, I want you to name just a hot topic for CHW, something you've heard is just a hot topic right now.
Certification.
Definition.
Pay.
Funding. Stress management.
Legal status.
Legal status. All right. Scope of practice. Values. Self-determination. Core competencies. Excellent. Other hot topics? Woo, you guys like all won the 100 points or whatever you thought. All right, so some of these things, and y'all did great. These are just a few, so I'm glad y'all listed others, but the definition, scope of practice, certification, credentialing, we're from Texas, and people always want to talk about that, competencies, training, best practices, what does the literature say, and how can we be doing that better? Cost-benefit ratios, why should I hire CHWs, right? People want to know that. Funding reimbursement, professional development, job turnover, and burnout, and those are the two that we really want to talk about today. So next question, I'll just throw these out. What are the two top reasons for job turnover among CHW professions?
Pay,
okay. Stress?
Not being involved.
Not feeling like they have a say or a voice. And lack of support? Empowerment, okay. Any others? Okay, yeah, so it's part of a grant, okay. So the first one we're going to talk about, and a lot of this comes from the CDC. I don't know if y'all have done. They have an excellent resource that has modules on this, and we had some of this information comes from there, and they have that source there. So funding is usually the top reason that you'll see for turnover. So a lot of CHWs are typically funded by grant programs or soft money. I don't know if it's in your area in Texas. We see a lot of people leaving because it pays better. So maybe we actually have some institutions in Texas, our FQHCs, our federally qualified health centers, are very good about having line items in their internal budgets for CHW positions. The problem is they maybe pay I'll just throw out, you know, $10 an hour, and it has benefits and everything. But then here comes this really wonderful university with a huge, you know, grant, but it's 2 years. But that, because it's 2 years, then they'll pay $15-16 an hour. So then you have people leaving the FQHCs for 2 years. They go for those positions, and then when that ends, they try to get back. So that's one reason, and I can't fault people for wanting to have that opportunity, but that's just one of the situations. And then also, there's a lot of different job titles related to funding, and so that's an issue we found. And then also, growing competitions and shrinking, did that just do it on its own?
Go back.
Okay. Sorry about that. But just growing competition and shrinking funds, we've seen this out there, right? So people, you know, it's part of this, we need to define what we mean by CHW, and you have patient navigators, and you have all these other things, and health coaches, and maybe it is CHW, but maybe not. But there seems to be a lot of people that are excited, and maybe there's some blurry lines about what we really need, and so it seems like more and more people are going after dollars, and it may be really for CHWs, but if someone says, oh, yeah, we have a CHW program, if you don't know what you're looking for, then they get funded as well, and maybe they really are, they maybe really aren't a CHW program. So those are some of the funding issues that we've seen. And then the other one that we believe, the number two reason actually in surveys, is supervision. And that surprised me a little bit. And some of that is, you know, supervisors maybe have never even heard of a CHW before, but they get hired to that position. So they really don't have an understanding of what a CHW is or what they're supposed to do. And so there's this, you know, why are you doing that? Why'd you take them to the grocery store? You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to be telling them about diabetes. Well, you know, they just don't understand what CHW is. Sometimes it can be a dictator, what you talked about. They don't feel valued. They're being told what to do. They're not being given a voice. Sometimes it's just lack of knowledge of the target community, or CHWs, generally by nature, they live and they're from the community that they serve. That is not always the case for a CHW supervisor. And then also just improper, unrealistic expectations. And again, that speaks to they don't understand what a CHW is. So supervision. Also just dissimilar backgrounds. Maybe they haven't even received the proper training that they need themselves. A lot of times I believe there's a lack of a mentoring relationship. So I think there's a lot of great programs to do it for CHWs. But when you talk about a mentoring program for CHW supervisors, it's at least in Texas, you don't hear as much about that. You hear about it for CHWs, but not for supervisors. And so I feel like that's another factor contributing to job turnover related to supervisors. And then also sometimes they're a little judgmental. And then also just their hands off. You know, they're not hands-on like CHWs are, and so that creates some friction and lack of understanding. And to the point where CHWs feel like they can't do their job, and so there's job turnover. Okay, ready? Name a factor contributing to CHW burnout. And some of those, there is some, you know, carryover, but what do y'all think? Caseload? Respect?
Lack of resources?
Low pay. Any others? Y'all can shout them out.
Never get a day off.
Crazy hours, never get a day off. Yeah, you're 24/7 in CHW, right?
It's a personal life.
Their personal life, okay, good.
Like undervalued. Stressful working with those.
Stressful situations, absolutely. Sometimes dangerous. Anything else? Okay, so talk real fast. Okay. Employers place unrealistic demands, the community goals versus the employer goals. Okay. And then also insufficient support, compensation, recognition, professionalization, and credentialing can create in both ways, right? In some cases, it can be both ways. I'll just leave it at that because we're running out of time. And then also, other factors, lack of a systematic job design or description, standardized training, career advancement, and then common standards or definitions across programs. So those all contribute to burnout, job responsibilities, caseload, lack of tangible results. Sometimes they just feel like they're not making a difference, and so maybe then they start to think they're actually hurting their community rather than helping them, and so that can really cause them to be burnt out if they just can't see that they're making any difference. And that's really huge. And then also just they feel like they might have lost the community trust and credibility. And a lot of times that's not because of anything they did, but maybe it's something that they were told to do their employers. And they know that if they did something differently, their community would trust them more, but their job description may be this. And so there's a disconnect there. And then also just the training requirements and provision of needed resources. Okay. And I'm going to turn it over to Katie in.
There we go. Okay, so I have a couple slides that's just going to recap based on everything that we've talked about here. And then if we have time, we're going to do an activity so we can turn it back over to y'all. So just quickly, well, all the things we just talked about, burnout, supervision, turnover, all of these issues facing CHWs, what do we do as CHWs ourselves, supervisors and allies, to respond to these challenges strategically? We think broadly. You can do that by engaging stakeholders. You can do it by encouraging a dialogue between CHWs, the people that employ them, and community members so everyone's on the same page. And you can also focus on ways to empower CHWs, which we talk about. What do we mean by empowerment? Well, let's define that. And then reduce burnout and job turnover. So we can do all those things together to strategically address some of these challenges. With the ultimate goal of course, cultivating effective, empowered, and passionate CHWs that are continuing to be CHWs and aren't leaving the field for a variety of these reasons. So we've come from our experience working with the National Community Health Worker Training Center. Julie used to be my supervisor until about 3 months ago, and then she went to Tech, so we still work together now. But from our experience with the training center, we found 10 lessons. So I'm going to tell you what we have, and if I miss anything, holler it out, and then we'll do our activity. So we think that best practices, lessons learned, whatever you want to call it, it's always better when you include CHWs in all phases of a project. So it's not writing a grant from a university level, finding CHWs and telling them what they're going to do. The CHWs are part of the planning from the very beginning. Number two, clearly identify the CHW roles and responsibility in partnership, I would add, with the CHWs themselves. So it's not you're expecting them to do diabetes prevention. That's a big topic. So you tell them specifically how you envision as a supervisor, as an employing agency, employing the CHWs, and then what the CHWs think they can do. So there, everybody has the same expectations. Also involve the CHWs in decision making so they feel like they have a voice and they have a role in there, that they're being heard. We've said that already today. Allow the community health workers to identify areas of needed training. So what do they think they need to do their job more effectively? Listen to that. You can also generate professional development opportunities identified by the CHW, so like the Lachon Network, the opportunity to come together and get the specific training that they think they need to improve their performance. Develop peer-to-peer mentoring programs. CHWs learn from each other. I love every CHW training I go to because I learn so much from everyone else that's in the room. So it's not just here I am going to tell you about mental health as an expert, but everyone in the room can share their experiences and we can learn from each other and grow that way. Including CHWs in sustainability activities. So if you have a grant that's for 2 years, not just planning on it being over in 2 years, how can you do, how can you make plans so that it's everything you're working on is sustainable and can be maintained? Allowing the community health workers to give back to their communities in their own unique and creative ways, seeking out opportunities for CHWs to showcase their work, and then also attend, number 10, those cut off, is to attend conferences like these on a national level, a local level, and a state level.
And just an example of number 9 and number 10, say, for example, they're out in the community and they really see a need. Some of the things that we've done that our Promo Glory CHWs have done, backpack programs where they collect items and we give backpacks full of school supplies, have done Christmas toy drives, have done bike drives, just different things like that where they identify a particular need and then we let them develop the program and we provide support and brainstorm with them how to make that happen. So, all right. If you have an orange or a purple, just pick one of those, and I apologize. We've had a great turnout. Okay, so this is what you're going to do. Based on your little, does everyone have a popsicle stick? If you don't, just pick a group. So what I want y'all to do is you're going to gather in groups of 3 to 4 people with your same color of stick, and you're going to brainstorm a wish list related to the topic. So yellow, y'all are going to talk about what are some ways we can engage. 2 minutes, all right, got 2 minutes. Okay, so to engage in sports CHW. So get in your groups, talk about these, and then we'll recap the last 10 seconds. Purple and orange, just pick a group.
This could have been like a 90-minute workshop. I feel like 10 minutes.
You know what I did? I used my book, and then I used my handouts.
They weren't at ATV, they weren't at the dollar store, I went into Michael's and I had to go to Walmart. So I only went to Walmart.
right. All right, guys, if y'all can start to get back, because after ours, we do have a Q&A time for all the presenters. So if y'all can start making your way back to the seat. If y'all can start making it back to your seat, we have one more thing we want to share with you guys. And start making it way back to your seat. So all this to say is that we really encourage you. We shared some ideas. Another thing that we do is be creative with CHWs. This really relieves stress.
We do selfies. So we made a selfie frame. So y'all can take your pictures.
So when y'all leave, we'll have it there. Please take your picture with the selfie you would like. But do things like this for your sessions. Continue with your programs. I think all of the sessions are available online. Everyone's contact information, not just ours, but the other presenters as well. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Take your picture.
Well, you cannot say that this session wasn't active and encourage your participation.
Can I have your attention, Mom?
And before that, yes, Ashley has a really good announcement for us.
Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt, but this is too important not to share. Okay, I haven't even made the announcement, and everyone's excited. All right, y'all, so for those of you who may be new to the community health worker section, have no idea what's going on, for the last 2 years, our section has been working on writing a policy for APHA. The policy basically states that any governing body, any state, any locality, whatever, that's trying to determine anything having to do with community health worker training or credentialing standards needs to make sure that it involves at least 50% CHWs in those bodies. It's really about CHW self-determination. So again, we've been working on this policy for 2 years. It didn't pass last year. It didn't even make it because they didn't like our wording. Anyway, we reworded it. Everything's great. It just passed on the governing council floor. There was a little bit of drama, so that's why I was running up and down the aisles and making a big scene, but there was good reason for it. So anyway, thanks everyone for your support. It was really a group effort.